This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker, and today my guest is Daniel Burkholder from Body Shop Marketing. And we're going to be talking about marketing a body shop. I know that's a little bit different for us, but before we get into that, let's take a second to thank our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ShopBoss. Manage and grow your shop with top features like integrated payments from 360 Payments. Declined repairs don't have to be lost revenue. AppField's call center schedules follow-up calls and equips your team with everything they need to close the deal. Get started now at appfueled.com. Well, hey, Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Great to have you with us today. It was nice meeting you at the Tools Conference. That was our first time meeting, I believe. Your agency deals with a niche that, honestly, I don't really know anyone else in that niche that does it, and that is marketing auto body shops, collision shops.
Yes, very nice meeting you as well at the Tools. I was kind of shocked when I walked the door, and I was like, I saw you, and you looked familiar. But that was really cool. I was not expecting to necessarily meet you there. So it was really great. And you're right. We market collision repair shops, auto body shops, largely because that's what I grew up in. My past is in the collision repair family shop. Ended up managing it for quite a number of years and decided to move on and kind of pursue a bit of a passion project of marketing.
I wanted to bring you on to talk to you today because there are a lot of people out there that have, you know, shops that are both mechanical and collision. We've done some marketing for some of them, but, you know, we're not by any means like body shop marketing specialist. You know, we focus on the mechanical side. And then I know a lot of our listeners, just because of the, you know, the nature of doing business together and helping each other out and everything, you know, many of them may have friends who own collision shops that, you know, where the conversation might come up about marketing, you know, thought that you might be able to bring some insights to some of our listeners about, you know, how maybe, you know, marketing a body shop is different. I'll start off with something that I think is a pretty big misconception. And I know that I thought this for years until we started working, you know, with a couple of our clients who are, you know, both mechanical and body and collision. And that is the idea that collision shops really don't need to do marketing because they're getting most of their business from insurance companies. So tell us a little bit about that.
That's really interesting you bring that up, because that is definitely, I would say historically, definitely the main way that auto body shops have marketed themselves, if you want to use that tech, that word in that space. And I like to tell shop owners sometimes is, every discount you're giving an insurance company because you're on one of their direct repair programs is basically marketing dollars that you're giving to them so they can funnel work to you through a direct repair program. There's definitely varying opinions in the collision repair space of direct repair program against direct repair program. I somewhat try to remain agnostic in the sense that I'm not going to side with either side. Now, let me clarify that a little bit. If I was having my car repaired, I would prefer to work with a non-direct repair program shop in the sense that I know they are going to be working 100% for me when they're fixing my car. They're not going to be cutting corners because the insurance company kind of has them under their thumb and they're on their direct repair program. Now, on the flip side of that, though, I would say just because a shop is a part of a direct repair program does not mean they're doing bad work. There's many sides to this. There's many ways to look at it. But you're exactly right. Historically, a lot of shops have counted on their direct repair programs to bring them the work. And all they do is they just answer the phone when they get these phone calls from State Farm, Progressive, from Geico, wherever they're coming from. We see some shift happening, and I don't know where this is going to all end up in the next 5-10 years, but we have things like OEM certifications that are starting to play a much bigger part in the collision repair space, where we have manufacturers are issuing certifications to shops that purchase the necessary equipment. They do the training. Let's use Toyota as an example. Somebody goes to Toyota, they do all the training, they buy all the equipment. Maybe it's a frame bench. Maybe it's the software that they need to doing the programming, and then they can be OEM certified. And so that's another avenue of work coming to them through this OEM certification. My opinion is that in the future, we may see that becoming more and more important for collision repair shops rather than just the direct repair programs. So I don't know if that answers your question, but times are definitely changing. The old model of just getting as many direct repair programs as you can, being almost 100% reliant on those direct repair programs to feed your shop, is gone. I would say definitely anybody that's listening that is a collision repair shop owner, you know you don't want to be 100% reliant on an insurance company, a billion-dollar corporation that does not care about your family business. And they can turn that switch off anytime they like. So that would be my advice on that.
Keeping in mind that, you know, the majority of the listeners of this show are going to be on the mechanical side, define for us like what that direct repair program or DRP actually is. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. As a shop owner, I went to State Farm and I said, hey, can we get on your direct repair program? They said, okay, sure. Fill out the paperwork, get signed up. Typically, you're giving some type of concession on your labor rates, potentially even on your parts markup. You're giving some concessions to them on that. And then in turn, they will funnel work to you. So somebody calls State Farm from your city. Let's say you're the only shop that's on that direct repair program. They say, hey, Mr. Dent is our preferred shop here in Springfield. Go to them. So that's basically what a DRP or direct repair program is.
So many consumers are under the impression that when the insurance company tells them go to this shop, that they have to use that body shop, right?
Yes, sir.
Which makes it even more important, especially for the shops that are not on a DRP, to be doing marketing and educating their clients.
Yes, sir. If I may add to that, in the United States, there's laws in every state saying that an insurance company cannot force you to take your car to a certain repair shop. But I will say this, when you get off the phone with the majority of insurance companies, you will think you have to take your car to a certain shop just by the word tracks they use. And there's a lot of strong feelings around this. In the collision repair space, we call it steering, where basically they're steering the insurance clients to certain shops. And like you said, you will get off the phone, you will think you have to take your shop there. But by law, you don't have to. You can say, I want to take my shop to Mr. Dent, even though he's not on your direct repair program.
Okay. The customer journey is going to be quite different for someone who's going to just a regular auto repair shop versus a collision shop. How does that impact the way that you do marketing?
You know, it probably impacts everything on the way we do marketing for a collision repair shop, because maybe let's just walk through that journey a little bit of how somebody ends up calling a collision repair shop. And obviously, this is typical. There's always the outliers that maybe are looking to have some repairs done. But normally, somebody's been in an accident, whether it's a major accident, a fender bender, maybe it's hail damage, some type of door dent, grocery cart. There's something happened that their car was damaged and they need it repaired. So basically, often the first call is to their insurance company or to their insurance agent, and they start making a claim number. This is where it gets interesting, because we have this factor of the insurance carrier, the insurance company, trying to steer them to their preferred vendors. Often consumers will probably just go down that path. Now, what we are seeing, I have one client that's doing research. They're asking their customers, even if it is a customer that is insured through one of their direct repair programs. So they have a few direct repair programs that they are using, they're a part of. And what they're finding is that around 50% of these customers are still researching them online, even after they have been referred by the insurance company, which is very fascinating data to me. That, and maybe I'll just explain that a little bit. So let's say you're in a larger city, you will highly likely not be the only shop on a direct repair program for, let's say, State Farm. So when you call State Farm, they'll give you the claim number and they'll say something like, all right, Mr. Dent, Prestige, committed, these are our three preferred shops in your location. And then it's up to the consumer to go and do their research and figure out which one they want to call. So that's kind of the journey they go through. And then obviously, if they, let's say they hop on Google, they start looking around, they check out the website. This definitely starts playing into, even though they're on a direct repair program.
That's interesting. And that's something that I've never thought about, is the research that gets done, even when the insurance company is saying, here's the shops. And in the auto repair world, you know, we're huge on no like trust marketing. And so somebody is, you know, now they've got a list of collision shops. They're hitting that website. They're reading their Google business profile reviews. They're possibly going to their social media and seeing what all that looks like. Very interesting. When it comes to things like no like trust, how important have y'all found it to be for collision shops to be involved in their community?
I would say highly successful shops are typically involved at a very grassroots level. Maybe it's being involved in their local softball teams. It's sponsoring different events. It's maybe doing some charity in their community. Obviously, those are things outside of what we specialize in. But all of those things are very, I think they're great, because it just builds that trust in the community. Yes, I know on average, a person is in an accident every 7 to 8 years. That's obviously an average. So that know, like, and trust is, I still feel, is very important. And obviously online, then if we can help to build that know, like, and trust when they land on the website, how quickly can we transfer that feeling that they know the shop, that feeling that they can trust this shop? That feeling is very key to a successful online presence.
In the auto repair world, where we'll see somebody that might visit a shop 2 or 3 times a year, we're still telling them how important it is to keep their name out there in front of their clients, because they're not necessarily going to forget you. But if a new shop opens up that's more convenient, or they've heard a friend talking about a great shop that they go to or something like that, they may choose to go check out that other shop. I can't imagine taking that now to 7 or 8 years, because you literally might not even remember the shop that did the work. The name of the shop may be different, if it still exists at all. Repeat business is probably something that is not a tremendous factor in this world. Am I right?
So I would be playing off of probably some of my experience in the collision repair shop from my years in the past. You will still have those frequent flyers that have an accident about every year, but you're right. And I shouldn't even put a number on this or a percentage on this, but you will have people that you'll see one time and you will never work for them again. But I would say this, you might work for their grandma. You might work for their nephew because of that good customer experience they had, the good relationship you built with them. They trust you, but they might never wreck their car again. And I would say that's similar to the mechanical space as well, where let's say somebody has a good experience and then they tell their family about you.
ShopBoss is software built by shop owners for shop owners. ShopBoss is the shop management software that works the way you need it to, so you can reach your biggest goals without slowing down. Help your techs fix cars faster with intuitive inspection tools that supercharge your operations and keep vehicles cycling through your base. Get into ShopBoss mode with an ROI dashboard that gives you critical information at a glance and updates in real time. And accelerate your payments with BossPay, powered by 360 Payments, by giving your customers more ways to pay. From text to pay, remote payments and consumer financing, to compliance, surcharging, and PayPal and Venmo mobile pay options. BossPay puts your customers in the driver's seat and keeps your business moving. Plus, their entire team is on deck to help you simplify your day-to-day, flag more hours, and generate more revenue. Other software makes you work, but ShopBoss works for you. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy. So walk us through what an effective marketing strategy for a collision shop might look like.
Basically, what I'll just tell you simply what we have found to work well. We put a lot of our energy for our clients' shops goes into the search world. And as we all know, Google at this point is the biggest player in the market. So a lot of this goes into things like local search optimization, making sure when people are searching for auto body repair shops, collision repair shops, that they are ranking organically. Google Ads is another good place to help the shops get in front of those people that are searching in a time of need when they've had that accident. Then you want to be there for right there, number one. This brings to mind a story I remember talking to a guy. I think he's from over in the Carolinas. Him and his dad had a shop, and I can't remember. I believe it was their last name, and their last name started with an A. And so back in the Yellow Pages day, guess where they were in the Yellow Pages when somebody flipped to the collision, the auto body section? They were the number one shop due to their last name. And he credited that small point to a lot of their success, to getting lots of phone calls. So flipping that into the online world, into our new search engines, is making sure that our shops are ranking in that number one spot. So when people are searching, boom, if they can find them. That's probably one of the biggest players is the search around that search world. If you are looking to build a long-term brand, I would say social media is a good place to be doing that. Like we've talked about a little bit ago, when you have a sales cycle that's potentially 7 to 8 years long, you can spend a lot of time and money on social media and not really see any ROI to speak of. But I do feel it's a good place to build brand. I don't know how that compares with the mechanical space. I'm assuming it's probably somewhat similar.
SEO search, you know, is very important. Google Ads, you know, very important. But then on the social side, it's not the thing that we steer people to first. You know, somebody is like in dire need of business, we're going to steer them to something like Google Ads because we can get that going for them very quick. Somebody who has got a little bit more of an established business and they're just looking to make sure they have continued growth, you know, then we're going to want to make sure that SEO is in the mix. But then our clients who they're at the point where they are brand building, their legacy building, they're taking, you know, that shop that has done well, and they're wanting to take it to a whole different level of shop. They're already, you know, a multi-million dollar shop, but they're wanting to take it even, you know, beyond that. And, you know, social media is a great place to truly get people to know, like, and trust your business. It's something that I recommend, you know, that shops do from the beginning. It's just that we don't recommend it prior to doing these other services. You know, like if in the hierarchy of services, it's usually going to be Google Ads and now local services ads, SEO and social media, indirect mail, and all that comes into play as well. But the customer journey, like you talked about earlier, is very different because the auto repair clients get to plan in most cases. Because truthfully, cars don't break down like they used to. Do they break down? Yes, they break down. You know, but if you go back into the 70s and 80s, cars used to come in on a tow truck all the time. The number of times that happens now compared to, you know, what it did is a tiny fraction. You know, so even when your car breaks, it's usually not leaving you stranded and you can plan for the repair. Whereas in your case, somebody's going along having a great day and then that day turns bad real quick and all of a sudden, they don't have a vehicle, their vehicle's not drivable, you know, at all. And they have found themselves in a place where I have no choice but to find a place to get it fixed or get it totaled so I can move on to a, you know, a new vehicle. It's similar yet different.
Right. That's a fascinating point you bring out, though, about the reliability of vehicles from the 80s. That's I don't know that I'd really thought about that, but that's a really good point that you mentioned there.
Carburetors and, you know, distributors, just, they were not as dependable as modern fuel injection systems. You know, this is a side note that has nothing to do with this podcast, but I love hearing people talk about how, you know, cars today aren't built like they used to be. And then you see the videos of a crash test of a car from the 50s compared to a car from, you know, like a modern car. And that car in the 50s, you see the passenger compartment just get completely obliterated. And it's like, there's no way someone survived that. And now everything around the passenger compartment, it comes apart because it's designed to, you know, protect the person in it. And it's like, anyone with a little bit of common sense does not feel as safe driving their old, you know, project car as they do their modern vehicle.
That is a really cool side note, because having been in the shop for many years, I've had these same conversations. It's like the modern cars, the cabin is so well designed and protected that, yes, okay, maybe you can't bump into the curb anymore like you used to be able to do with your old 1950s. But if you're ever in a major accident, you're going to be much safer by a long shot, even though you might not like the sensors and all this cool stuff that they've got going nowadays.
Yeah. We were talking about Google and LSA. Is LSA something that y'all are doing in the collision world right now?
It's interesting you ask. And we are currently not running any LSA ads, surely because we haven't gotten into that world yet. Is that good, bad, or indifferent? I can't really speak to that. I'm sure there's some opportunity there for the collision repair space, and I would like to venture into that, try that with some of our clients.
So what role would you say that customer experience and reputation management play in the repeat business or, you know, referrals? You know, and I know we're talking 7 to 8 years on average between visits to a body shop, but in the auto repair world, it's so important that a shop provides a great customer experience. How does that translate into the collision side of things?
I'm going to answer that question kind of in two ways. Let's tackle the customer experience first. That is, I would say it is definitely the same as mechanical. Very important that we have a great experience up front. I think what shops need to be doing is do some sales training. Do some training on how to handle the phone calls that come in, because typically we're dealing with some people that maybe are quite emotional. They've just been in an accident. They are maybe upset. They're angry. There's definitely some interesting dynamics there for the collision repair space that if your people up front on at your front desk aren't comfortable handling and don't have the tools to handle, definitely need some training to help give that good customer experience, help build that trust. So I would say very important. As far as a reputation management, I'm going to tell a little story that I think might speak to this. Now, I know this is one situation, so it's not been necessarily a test that's been done all across the United States. This was actually a shop owner that I met at the tools event that you and I were both at. He and I had met online before and been chatting before. But anyways, we met in person there, and he told me a story that I find very interesting. And I think speaks to this reputation management as far as the online reputation management, to be more exact, the Google reviews. This shop owner, he owns multiple shops that are branded differently. So if you didn't know it, you wouldn't necessarily know that they were owned by him. He had an experience where one of his shops, I believe, was around a 4.6 Google review average, about, I'm going to say, around 8 miles away. He has another location is at a 4.9. So the story goes like this. They had a previous customer that had been to his original shop that has the 4.7, 4.6 Google review rating. That customer went over to their other location that has the 4.9, and they went ahead and told this story that, yes, we were a customer at that other shop and we liked it. It was a good shop, good experience there, but their reviews are 4.7 and yours are 4.9. So we came over here to your shop because you're at a 4.9. Just a little interesting story that, like I said, this is one situation, but I think it does show that even though we may have provided that person with an amazing experience, if our Google reviews are significantly worse than the shops around us, we could be losing customers because of that. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of an interesting story that plays into this reputation management.
Yeah, we don't even take on a client if they have less than a 4.0, because we know that the marketing that we're going to do is going to be so squelched by their bad reviews. So it's incredibly important, especially in our world. And I love that you talked about the sales and phone skills, because I've been on kind of a bender of podcast episodes where we've talked about that, because it is so important. And people, they don't realize the difference between a good service advisor and a great service advisor, and how big of an impact they can make, and how much of their marketing dollars they can keep them from wasting.
100%. We can get you all the leads in the world, but if you don't have a good sales process at the front end of your shop, if you're throwing money down the drain. I agree 100%. So maybe you and I need to do some sales training.
How do you educate? It's like this episode has been an entire education on this, but like in your world, when you are meeting a shop owner or you're talking to someone for the first time, how do you educate them on the importance of proactive marketing, you know, for their collision shop rather than just relying on the DRP?
I wish I had just the perfect formula to throw out here for you, Brian, but I don't know that I have any simple way to do this. I think it really takes the shop owner to be forward thinking and to be, like you mentioned, building a legacy and really looking to grow. Interestingly, a lot of our clients, not all of them, but a lot of them are younger. They're maybe my age, and they are looking to build a business that is much bigger than themselves. And like you said, you mentioned the legacy, and I think that's a good word, is to really, for them to embrace that bigger picture. They don't want the DRPs to necessarily be in control. Are they willing to use DRPs as a tool? 100%. But they see them as a tool. They don't see them as a means to an end. That's where online marketing becomes part of the tool, one of the tools that they can use to build their shops. Maybe they're looking to buy more shops, since that's kind of the thing in the collision space now, is to become an MSO, multi-shop owner, and keep growing, buying at more shops. That's probably the future, is if you're not growing, you're dying. And I know my friend Cole Strandberg, the host of the Collision Vision podcast, if you're listening to this and you're a collision shop owner, you need to go listen to the Collision Vision podcast. Just a little, I'm throwing that in there. Cole Strandberg does an amazing job, brings on really cool guests and covers the industry very well. But I know he's spoken at a number of events about this, about there's basically a few options you can do if you're in the collision space. The single store owners is very quickly becoming obsolete. You can either embrace it and grow, or you can really niche down into maybe OEM certifications and really try to go down that path, or you can sell out to one of the big MSOs. Anyway, sorry, I went down a little bunny trail there. Back to how do we educate our clients on helping them to understand the importance of proactive marketing. I think what I see happening is often shop owners are coming to me when they're in a bad place. Their car count has went down significantly. Their cash flow is down significantly. And that is, unfortunately, is all the wrong time. And I'm sure, Brian, you experience this too. That is all the wrong time to try to start marketing, because unfortunately, marketing is something you build. It's a process. It's not an event where you can flip the switch on for 3 months and suddenly magically we fill the shop back up with cars. I also try to educate shop owners around that we need to be doing this consistently over years of time, not just frantically doing this when we feel like the ship is sinking and this is kind of an effort to save it.
Yeah, the same thing happens in our world, because I mean, the fact is you can grow a lifestyle business without really doing any marketing. You can grow something that will pay you as much as a good job, if you're lucky. But, and I know that there are a lot of people in this world that they choose to get into business because, you know, either they're unemployable or they want to be their own boss or whatever. And they're not, you know, looking to ever have an income beyond what they could have made, you know, working for someone else. But man, running a small business is hard. And, to deal with the things that you have to deal with as a small business owner, it really ought to pay you a whole lot more than a job would. And to grow something big, you know, to grow a legacy business, I personally do not believe that you can do that without marketing. You know, so I think that you're right on with that. And it's the same in the auto repair world. This trend of, you know, becoming an MSO and that being the way of growing the business. Yeah, I love it. Is there anything that we should have talked about today that we haven't?
Not that I can think of right off the top of my head. I would say, I guess probably my final words to, if there's any collision shop owners listening to this, is definitely don't wait to pull the trigger on marketing your shop. And it can be really simple things. You don't have to start out with the big expensive things, but start marketing your shop before you need it. Even if you're busy, that is the time to be marketing, not when you're slow. Be sure to start building that platform to work off of and grow your shop, grow your legacy. Yeah, that would be my final words.
Well, thank you for being here with us today. I really appreciate it. You know, for those of you who are listening, I know this one was a little bit of a different topic, and I hope that it was good for you to, you know, get an understanding of kind of how the other side of this, you know, business works on, you know, the collision side. And if you know a collision shop owner that could benefit from this, certainly share it with them. Daniel, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
There's a few different ways, probably heading over to our website at bodyshopmarketing.io. If they're looking to get in contact with me, there's a form there they can fill out. Tell me a little bit about your shop, and happy to sit down and evaluate what you've got going on there. Or email me at daniel@bodyshopmarketing.io. Those would be two good avenues to reach me at.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you again. For those of you who are listening, remember, we are just one of a handful of podcasts on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find the others at aftermarketradionetwork.com. I hope that you'll listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed, because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.